We are continuing our journey together in the book of Hebrew. Now, the book of Hebrew, nobody for certain can say who wrote this book. Some people say, oh, it's Paul, it must be. Or another person say it's Apollos. Or even another one says it's a lady by the name of Lydia, the partner of Paul, who is one of the apostles. Nobody can for certain tell who wrote Hebrew, but the founding and the church father, we call those people that lived long, long time ago, that established Christian faith and teach others about Christian faith, and they all agree that the book of Hebrew is consistent with the teaching of Christianity. It has been proven to be doctrinally sound. That's what they say, doctrinally sound. Sounds like a lot of big word there, but what it means is it's consistent with what Jesus taught. So that's why the book of Hebrew is placed as the collection of sacred texts, which we call the Bible right now. So we will continue to look at Hebrew, specifically Hebrew 7. And this one, the book of Hebrew, requires us to extend a little bit of our imagination, because it's talking about the world that many of us are not familiar with. Imagination, I said, not fantasy. How many know the difference between imagination and fantasy? There is a difference. They are similar but different. Imagination is God's given skill, or both of them are actually God's given. But imagination allow you to have creativity. Those of you who are in arts major or art industry, you need imagination, right? To imagine. And imagination does not mean it's a lie. Fantasy, on the other hand, it's non-existent. It's a fantasy. It's a made-up world. But imagination is needed for creativity. And also imagination is needed sometime. In this case, you will need imagination a little bit to study the book of Hebrew, because the book of Hebrew is talking about not a daily thing that you and I are familiar. It's talking about the priesthood. It's talking about the rest that is in the afterworld, afterlife, and all that. So we're going to engage ourselves today in the meditation a little bit deeper, okay? Now, since I'm asking you to use your brain and heart a little bit deeper, let me start light. Let's have a game, okay? We're going to play a game. And if you do not know the answer to this game, it's okay. Because that means you are a very spiritual person. You don't waste your time doing entertainment, but you study the Bible all the time. Okay, so let's do this game, okay? This game is called How Well You Know Your Superhero, all right? Okay, let's see if I can do the pointer. The pointer? Yeah. Okay, where is it? Is it all gone? What happened? Okay, all right. Thanos took it. Thanos took the time capsule. Okay, so let's see how well you know your superhero, okay? I'm going to point with this red dot. Who is this? Captain America. How many doesn't know? Olive. Okay, you are a godly mother. Always read the Bible. Never watch movie. All right. Okay, let's try again, okay? A little bit harder this time. What is this? Who is this? Huh? Which is? Hulk. Okay. Good job. Good job. All right. Now, this one is easy, right? Who is he? Tony Stark. That's right. He is Iron Man. And this one is easy. Who is he? Thor. Okay. Now, a little bit more difficult, okay? Who is this one? Huh? Hawkeye. Good job. All right. Even more difficult. How about this guy here? This woman. Wakanda girl. That's right. What is her name? Huh? Okoye. Whoa. That one is Okoye. They know. Okoye, that one is. Okay. Harder. How about this one? Nebula. From what movie? Guardian of the, I think if you can answer that, that's pretty good. Who is this? Captain Marvel. Who is this? The war machine. Yeah, that's the code word, right? I don't even know. I think it's Roddy or something. Right? Those of you. Anyway, superhero. That is what we're going to talk about today. All right? And what I want to ask you is that, oh, by the way, superhero movie nowadays, that is actually increasing immensely in popularity. Do you know that the highest grossing movie is a superhero movie? How many can guess what's the highest grossing movie in the world right now? Ever. Endgame. Good. Good. They make $2.8 billion. That's the highest, right? Not counting inflation. Okay? So just from the dollar figure, $2.8 billion for a superhero movie that's pure fantasy, but people likes it a lot. How many know, after inflation, what is the highest grossing movie all time? Oh, we got movie buff here. Yes, it is indeed Gone with the Wind. Gone with the Wind is a 1939 movie starring Clark Gable and Vivian something, and it makes $3.9 billion already by now, inflation adjusted. So, but we can see the trend though. Nowadays, people like fantasy superhero movie. So I have a question for you. Why do people like superhero? Okay, let me ask this. Maybe not everybody likes superhero movie. How many does not like superhero movie? Angkat tangan. Raise up your hand. You don't like. You don't like. Okay, have you ever been to one at least? And you don't like. Which one that you go so that I don't go to? You don't like Captain Marvel? Okay. I haven't watched that one too. Right? Is it bad? It's all right. Okay. All right. But you are an exception. Look, when I ask, only one, two people that does not like superhero. Most of us, it seems. How many really, 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 really like it? Can I see your hand? Okay, one, two, three, four. Okay. And all of you, the rest of you is falling between, yeah, you know, I like it, but I don't have to, but I like it. If I have time, I will watch it, right? I'm like that too, by the way. But we know that from the trend, just looking at the trend, people like superhero movie now today, that the fact that it makes the record number. Now the question is, why do people like superhero movie? And this is my theory, and I know that you have your own theory too, but since I'm the one who's speaking, I'm the one who get to say what I like, okay, or what I guess. This is what my guess is, because we really, really hope that someone out there, someone nice, someone powerful, someone who care about us will come to us when we are in time of need. We just hope that. Because we realize the reality of us being human. Us being human, we know that we are limited. Without having to explain the detail of what it is that challenges us and in our experience as a human being, we know that we are not limitless, we are limited, we are weak, of, you know, as far as our physical bodies is concerned, we got sickness and our strength is limited, we get tired, we have problems in relationship, and mentally we get worried because we don't know the future. We are very finite human being, you may call it that way. And you don't know the future, and you worry about relationship, your career, your life, your family. Oh, sure, we try to be strong. We try. At least from the outside, when we come to church, we're full smile, best dress, and just like normal, nothing happened. We try to be strong, but deep down, we need someone who can assure us that everything will be okay. We need that security. We try, we fight, we present our best look. But there are moments when we have a time to stop a little bit and we look inside. We wish that we will be okay. Someone is taking care of us. We don't have to be strong all the time. We don't have to appear to be just faking it on the outside. We want to be the real us with everything that we are. And that is the reality of being human. And even more, as far as the weaknesses, we have question. We are curious about heaven and hell. And we're wondering what happened after we die, after our life on earth is game over, where are we going to be? Are we going to be okay? And the question of heaven and hell has been an interest and a mystery for all humanity from the beginning of time. We ask that question. We need something or someone that can help us, rescue us, if we ever find ourselves in the terrible places life brings to us. We need a savior. And that's why we like to watch superhero movie, because it makes us connect. Oh, yes. At any moment when I'm in trouble, Superman will know, or Spidey will know, oh, I'm in trouble, and will rush into the closet and then come up from the closet and then opening the regular clothes and then zoom into the sky and just on time and rescue us from everything that is bad that was about to happen. We wish that person exists, but is superhero only exists in the movie? Well, depending on what you call hero. We know many hero. For example, our mothers. My mom is a hero to me. Because why? From childhood, I depend on her. She took care of me. She nurtured me. She loved me. She feed me. She's the stronger one. Now I think my wife is a hero for me. She prayed for me. She supported me. You have that kind of those kind of people also in your life. But sooner or later, you will realize, turns out these people that we call hero, they too are limited like us. They too are not strong like us. They too need a hero like us individually. So then you come to the reality that all of us, we are in need. Is there a superhero, the real superhero? I have a good news for you, and you know where it's coming now, the story. There is a superhero, a real one, alive, and he is near to us. And we're going to read this Hebrew chapter 7, and as you read, we're going to play a little game, a mind game. You don't have to answer this time. But as we read about, I would say, 10 verses, 9 verses, you will read the even, I will read the odd number of the verses from Hebrew chapter 7, verse 21. You will try in your mind, exercise a little bit, identify the characteristic of the superhero. You know what the characteristic of superhero. Those of you who watch superhero movie, you know, right? A superhero is like what? In your mind, at least. Now, you identify the sentence or word that is, you think, a characteristic of a superhero as you read this particular section of the Bible, Hebrew chapter 7, okay? So I'm going to read, there are two slides, verse 21 to 25 and then 26 to 28. I'm going to stop after this first slide to give us a chance to see what or which one is the superhero statement. Okay, so I'm odd, you are even. Everybody read with passion, okay? The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. You 3, 2, 1. All right, 23. You have to beat me in passion. Now, there have been many of those priests since that prevented them from continuing in office. 3, 2, 1, you. Therefore, 25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives. You know what? Let's just continue reading so that we get a full picture of this. 3, 2, 1. Thank you. 27, me. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for the sin once and for all when he offered himself. 3-1. As I said, you will have to use a little bit of imagination because this is the world of priesthood. It's a world that no longer exists today because this is talking about a time in the life of the Israelite nation around the first century. And of course, you are now living in the 21st century. We are about 20 centuries apart, so it's not that easy for you to relate, but we'll try. We'll try, okay? But the point is for us to recognize some words that are considered as a characteristic, as a superhero. And I'm going to give you mine, and then you are going to see if you agree with me. And then after that, you can tell me which one that I have not said. Okay? So let me give you an example. For example, in verse 21, I see one. Because it says, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. God the Father, in this case, the Lord, God the Father is appointing Jesus as a priest forever. There are many, many other priests, but then only this one, you are the priest forever. To me, that is a statement of the chosen one. The chosen one. How many ever seen a movie where, you know, someone who looks ordinary did not know he was a hero or anything, and suddenly he heard a prophecy, you are the chosen one. You are selected. You are the one. That's going to be the superhero. I watched that one. There was a Netflix series. It's a Turkish movie, but I forget the name. But anyway, how many have seen that kind of thing? You are the chosen one. Hopefully you can identify with that. Okay, let's continue, okay? Now, verse 22, I see another one. But because of this, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant, whatever that means, a better something. To me, that is a statement of the one that can make it happen to bring the people to a better future. Hero do that. Hero save the world and give lives, give better future to everyone that he saved, avoiding disaster, avoiding accident, whatever it is that the superhero does. That is a statement of a better future that a hero does. What else? I see another one in verse 23-24. 23-24 says this. Now there has been many of those priests, since that prevented them from, those priests means those who serve in Israel. There are 83 priests that served from the time of Moses, which is Aaron, until the time this Hebrew was written, 83 generation, 83 succession of priests. But then it's saying this, now there have been many of those priests since that prevented them. That means one die, the next one come. The one die, the next one come. 83 times. But then we have this one, this superhero, it says, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. That means he never die. This is a super life force. Who can kill Superman? Well, kryptonite probably, right? Or something, right? But this one, super life force, never dies. That is superhero, don't you agree? If you meet someone who cannot die, lives forever, that is a superhero to me in my book. All right, let's look more. Verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save completely. Do you think that is a statement of superhero? If someone can save you, able to save you completely, whatever your problem is, I think that is a statement of superhero. How many is with me so far? Are you thinking? Or are you daydreaming. Probably in your mind, you're in some kind of movie now, right? How many have not watched Spider-Man? I heard it's good. I have not. What's another superhero movie nowadays? No, wait. Don't answer me, because when I ask you this, then it brings your mind to that movie. That's not what my intention is. I want you to be here. I'm sorry. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Verse 26. That's another superhero statement there. Go and read. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart, exalted above the heavens. This is a heavenly being. This one is Thor, or better than Thor, you know. This one is holy, blameless, good, super good, super good. Nobody is actually that blameless, right? That is a statement of a superhero. Verse 27, one more. I know that I'm kind of pressing and press your mind, but that's okay, right? It's okay. It's not that bad. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. Just a little background. Priests, they do, the high priest, yeah, the high priest, they have to enter into this room, in this one place, the only place in Israel called the temple in Jerusalem. And those who is appointed to be the high priest, is just like top position, they have to enter into this room in the, they call it church, but it's a temple, into the Holy of Holies once a year. And they have to offer sacrifice. And they have to do it every year. But instead, our superhero, what did he do? He sacrificed for sin how many times? Once for all. Once and for all. That means the superhero is highly effective. Highly effective. Everybody, every year, have to do it again and again and again, and they die, and next generation, and 83 times do that. This one, once. Superhero. Highly effective. That is Jesus. Jesus is our Savior. He is the superhero. How many okay so far? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Now, out of all these 20, out of this about 8 verses, we're going to just concentrate on one. And we're going to dig in a little bit more. Yeah? So I just want you to concentrate. And if after the sermon is done, you go home and somebody asks you, what did Pastor preach? And from what Bible verse? Only one. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. You read it before. We're going to read it and just kind of dig into it a little bit more. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. If you recall, I read it. Therefore, he is able to save. That is one of the characteristics of the superhero, right? He is able to save. We're talking about salvation here, salvation. In Hebrew, when people talk about salvation, the word salvation, usually it means a reward that someone who is acceptable to God receive after he died. Salvation is talking about going to heaven, to put it simply in today's language. In their religious mind, salvation is that. But then there is, so all of you who believe in Jesus, you will be saved because you will go to heaven. But that is after you finish your assignment and your task on earth, then you will die and then you go to heaven. That is salvation if you believe Jesus. But then there is also an indication in the book of Hebrew, just one chapter before, that tell us that salvation is not only afterlife, but also for today. Why am I telling you that? Because this verse, Hebrews 7:25, says, therefore he is able to save, that save is not only reserved from afterlife, but today. As you are living as a Christian, as you are living as the disciple of Christ, as you are living as a human being, God is able to save you. Not only having to wait until you die and then you receive your heavenly reward, but today he is able to save. Hebrews 6, as I said before, there is this verse that indicates the experience of salvation for those who are still alive. And this is what it says. Although the context of this verse that I'm going to about to read to you is not about salvation being experienced, but you can see what it means. By the way, this verse is a warning to all who back away from the grace of God. It says this, Hebrews 6, verse 4 to 5. For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened. Those who experience good thing from God, it is impossible to bring back to repentance, especially those people who have experienced the good things of heaven, whatever that means, but it sounds like spiritual thing that one experienced from God, the good thing of heaven, and shared in the Holy Spirit. Those who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come. That last sentence, let me read it again so that you get the meaning of what I'm saying. Those who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, right now you are tasting the Word of God, and the power of the age to come. The age to come is that salvation Hebrew in the Hebrew mind. It says that if you have been saved before, if you have tasted the goodness of God, you have tasted the Word of God, you have experienced the power of the age to come. It seems to me that word is saying, yeah, the salvation is the power of age to come. But now some people already experience it. That means God actually have blessed us with this power of the age to come right now, today, as you are still living and breathing. God is able to save while you are still alive. The rewards of salvation, it doesn't have to wait until you die. You can experience this salvation. And you, of course, have to learn what it means, that. But I'm just saying that God is able to save you even today with whatever situation that you are in right now. How many remember the song Mighty to Save? Savior, he can move the mountain. I know that memorizing song is not one of the things that we like to do nowadays, but try, because this is a good song. You know, some simple song, please memorize that, because that will help you. Savior, you can move the mountain. My God, he is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Author of salvation, right? And then he rose and conquered the dead. Yes, that's right. Jesus conquered the grave. Jesus is able to save. Hallelujah. How many believe that? How many do you trust in this word? Do you trust that he is able to save you? If you trust, say amen. Amen. Are you convinced? Yes? If you trust that God can save you, say amen one more time. Amen. Amen. The next word on that Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save partially. Amen? Amen? Completely. I just want to make sure that you are awake. Jesus is able to save you completely. Now, this word completely, what does it mean? It means the salvation, the good thing, the blessing that you are experiencing from Jesus is not limited to 2:15 until 3:45 every Sunday. It means the salvation, the good thing, the blessing, the help that you are experiencing is not only within this wall of the church. It means it's not only limited to your spiritual life. It says completely, which means Jesus is able to save you in every area of your life. Whether that is your relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend, whether that is your relationship with your husband or with your wife, whether that is a financial situation, whether that is a career question, whether that is a place that you live and who you marry, where you're going to be, what major you're going to take, Jesus is able to save you completely. That word completely means all areas. There is no one area where Jesus cannot reach and save you and help you. The question is, what is your problem? What is your challenge in life that you have today? And the question is also, will you trust Jesus to save you? I think each one of us needs to look into this simple short sentence and check our heart whether we can put our faith in this sentence or not. This is the word of God. Therefore, he is able to save you completely. Or you think, my religious life is only Sunday. Jesus can only solve my spiritual questions. But no, Jesus said, I can help you in all areas of your life, whatever it is. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God. So there is a requirement. If you want to experience the help of God, the requirement is you need to go to the right sources, which is God. It says he can save you if you come to him. But a lot of time we find ourselves when we are in trouble, when we are having challenges in life, we do not come to God. And in fact, sometimes we run away from him. We run away from him. After you do something wrong, when you commit sin, some people will feel guilty and they say, I don't want to go to church because I have done bad thing. That is in opposite to what God wants. If you have done some mistake and sin, on the other hand, instead of running away, you need to come to God for help. Don't run away. Don't run away. If you run away, there is no solution. But if you come to God and confess your sin, he is good. He will forgive you and teach you to make a better choice next time, giving you the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to come to God in the time of need. That is the requirement of receiving the help. To God, you need to come. Some people, when they have trouble, they don't come to God. They look at their bank account. They go to people. They go to their wife, their husband, their boyfriend, and put their trust in those things instead of to God. You need to come to God. Some people, when they're feeling depressed, burned out, tired, worried, they tend to be locking themselves in their room, not wanting to do anything, and just have a self-pity party, we call it. Self-pity party. I am tired. I am burned out. I don't want to do anything. That is in opposite of what God wants you to do. If you find yourself lonely, depressed, worried, and just ready to break down, you need to come to God. Asking for strength. God, help me. This morning at 3:30, out of nowhere, I woke up with pain. And that is not a physical pain, but a pain in my heart. I feel very lonely. I don't know what that is. You know, when you feel some kind of pain in your heart that is not physical, you know, there's no real pain, but, you know, there's loneliness that out of nowhere, it could be hormone. It could be hormone. It could be also attack from the devil, whatever it is. I don't understand what happened. I mean, suddenly I woke up and I feel pain and of loneliness, of helplessness, of just kind of depressed out of nowhere. What do? Suddenly if you wake up like that, it doesn't have to be in the morning, sometime in the middle of the crowd, you feel that I'm hopeless. When you are in that situation, let me tell you the word of God. Therefore, he is able to save you completely. Those who come to him. You come to God. You come to God. I never leave myself. That's why I immediately, at that time, I speak in tongues. I cry out, God, I don't know what's going on. Why my heart like this? It's because I'm probably growing old. That's why. But whatever it is, God, I just need your help. I cry out to you. Come and help me. You are able to help me. I need your help. I never leave myself in a situation of low feeling for the ministry of God and the work of God for too long. People call it burnout. I never leave myself. I find myself sometimes I'm burnt out. Yes, that is true. I'm a human being. But I never stay long in the burnout period. I always ask God to pull me up as soon as possible. God, I find myself, I'm burnt out on all these things. I have disappointment toward this person, that person, and this and that, and about life in general. But God, I don't want to stay here for a long, long time. Please pull me up from this burnout. Because I want to live passionate life. That is that burnout life, that passionless life, that is not life that you meant for me. I know that you give me a life that is abundant, a life that is productive, fruitful, and able to serve God with all I have, and I want to be just passionate as ever. I call out to God, God, come on, you can do your job because you are God. That is what I cry out. This morning I did that, the same. I don't know why. Maybe you know, God allowed that pain to exist so that I can preach better and have sympathy for some of you who sometime have that kind of situation where you feel pain, depressed, lonely. I don't know. I don't think I'm lonely, but I have to kind of ask God, am I lonely? I don't think I'm lonely, you know. But there was a very eerie, what is eerie in Indo? It's like very menakutkan, you know, scary loneliness suddenly enter in the darkness of night. And I think it's probably God allowed that so that I can preach this, not dismissing those of you who feel depressed or lonely in your life, that I can have empathy for you. I already wrote this preaching last night, and those words I already write, right? Depressed, lonely, whatever. And I was planning, I'm just going to mention that really quickly and move on to the next point. But having experienced what I experienced this morning makes me feel, hey, this thing is real. Some people do experience loneliness. Some people experience helplessness. Some people experience depressed situation because of the situation that they cannot change in their life, and they're struggling right now. And if you are in that situation, look at the Word of God. I hope you put your faith in the Word of God. Therefore, he is able to save you completely, those who come to God through Jesus. How many can say amen so far? Yes? Let's look at the second part of Hebrews chapter 7, 25. Well, this whole three thing can be summarized. Someone to rescue us. We need someone to rescue us. There's one more point. Let's look at this verse. This is the second portion of that same verse. Because he always lives. Why is this important? Because he always lives. Anytime you read the word in the Bible that says always, it's talking about faithfulness. Always. Because very, very little thing on earth that you can put the word always onto. Because it is a difficult word. You know, I mean, just an example. You only need one instant where it's not whatever that you call always to prove the word always wrong. For example, sometimes I get mad at my kid waking up too late. You know, and then I said, come on, you always wake up late. The answer always come like this. No, the other day I wake up early. But yeah, you know what I mean. Out of all these 3 weeks of vacation, you always, most of the time, well, not always, he said. There's one time that I didn't wake up late. Okay. It's, you know, it's very easy, by the way, if you use the word always, to argue back. Because you only need one instance to prove you wrong. Correct? But there is one thing you can put the word always into. Because God, Jesus, he always lives. Never die. Psalm 112 first. Let's see, what's the verse? 112. It says this. Psalm 121 verse 4. The God of Israel, he never sleep or rest. He never sleep or rest. So the question is, what is he doing if he's not resting? He is paying attention to you. He is like Spider-Man or Superman that is ready to jump into your situation when you need help. Or if he seems to be delayed, he already know you're going to be okay. In fact, he wants it to be a little bit delayed so that you learn how to handle your situation and depend on him more and trusting him more. He allow us to go through difficult time in our life to train us, to mature us so that we can trust him more. But he never sleep, he never slumber, he never rest. Why? His eyes is open toward you. And don't ask me how he can do it. How can Jesus or God pay attention to 7 billion people all at the same time and the majority of them have problem? I don't know. He's God. He is able to do it. That's why the first sentence of this verse says, he is able to save. Just in case you have doubt in your mind, it's humanly impossible, you know, how to pay attention to 7 billion people all at the same time. He already tell you, he is able to save. He is God. And he is always lives. He never rests or sleep. One more. What did he do again? The word of God says he always lived to intercede for them. What does the word intercede means? Well, the word intercede means this. Intercede, there, it's a type of prayer. But instead of asking for yourself, intercede means praying for the prosperity and safety of the others. I mean, when we pray, sometimes we pray, God, I want green card. God, I want a bigger house. I want I want a boyfriend. I want a girlfriend. I want to get married. Please, God, allow me to have that. I want a new car, whatever. And usually, we ask for us. But interceding means we ask for others. That's what it means, intercede. And this is the wonderful thing about our superhero, because we find that he is faithful to us, doing what? Doing the asking. He's asking on our behalf. He is our defense attorney. He is on our side. Last year, I was sued by a company, big company, giant company, a company that I will not name, but some of you already work there. A few years, like 6-7 years ago, you know, in my other profession, I sell computer and I sell software. So 7 years ago, I bought computer, and along with the computer, there is a software. It's called OEM, Original Equipment Manufacturer Software. It's just like a software that comes you know, along with the computers. And so the buyer of the computer that I'm selling say, I don't need the software, do whatever you want. So I sell the computer, the hardware, and then I take a license from that hardware and I sell it in eBay. I sell that. Now, that is not allowed, by the way. I did not know then. So I sell it in eBay, and this company found out. Their lawyer called me with a threatening letter saying, we are going to bring this matter into the court. And when you face that kind of threat, it's right for you to be afraid. Because they have the power, if they can prove themselves, and lawyer is very good, you know, they can prove themselves that you make a major mistake here, and then therefore you need to pay a few $100,000 loss because, you know, and they have to, you have to pay the lawyer fee, you have to pay the whatever fee, they can come up with all kind of fee that you need to pay in order to make amends. So I was afraid. What do? I hire a defense attorney. I hire a defense attorney. I said, I know I make a mistake. I did not know. But do you know that whether you know the law or you don't know a law, when you violate, you are liable. Right? It doesn't matter whether you know or not. You are wrong. And I was wrong. I told my defense attorney, I was wrong. I'm willing to make amends. You know, please negotiate with me so that they don't have to call me to the court. And so the defense attorney get right into the work. Reply to the demand of the opposing counsel. They call it opposing counsel, the attorney for that company. And long story short, the matter is resolved. I did have to pay, though. I have to pay my attorney $7,000, and the penalty is $5,000. It cost me $12,000, $13,000, but I'm glad it's all good and done. And I remember when I hired my defense attorney, I was already pretty scared, you know, with this opposing counsel threatening me with the letter. You know, when they send you the letter, it's like so bad, you have done sin that deserves that penalty. It almost seems like that. Oh, man, I'm so bad, you know, and all that. But then the defense attorney write a reply. When I read the reply, hey, suddenly I'm not looking that bad anymore. You know, I'm okay, you know, I mean, this is an innocent mistake. You don't have to punish me until you take away my house, my car, my everything, my bank account. This is not so bad after all. It's, defense attorney is good, you know. They can make it so that you don't appear to be that bad. And it makes me kind of pretty confident. Yeah, we can win this thing. Yeah, okay, I know. I mean, now, you know, I can, you know, what it makes me do, and then I'm trying to find their mistake, you know, because I'm pretty bold now because I have a defense attorney. You know, Jesus is like a defense attorney. You are wrong. You are sinners. You have made bad mistake. You deserve the penalty of sin, which is death. But Jesus is on your side. He is your defense attorney. He represents you in the court of the Father, who needs to apply justice to those who are wrong. But at the same time, the Father also loves you. Both has to happen. The justice and the love has to happen in the court of God's presence. Jesus is your attorney. He makes you look good, not on your account, but on His account at the cross. He died for you. Makes you look good, makes you children of God, makes you a disciple, accept you, make you holy. You don't have to fight your own battle. Because why? Jesus speaks on your behalf. He intercedes for you. That ought to make you feeling pretty secure. Thank you, Jesus. I have you. He is the one that pays for the penalty of our sin. Now, of course, how do we respond then to this kind of superhero? Real quick. Three things I want you to respond to this superhero like Jesus. Because a superhero like Jesus not only want to appear in the movie and make money in a box office, he want to save you. He want to have a relationship with you. So number one, this is how you respond to God. You have to know Him. The word know in Hebrew is Yoda. It's another superhero, you know, the master of the Jedi. I think they get the idea of naming him Yoda from the word Yoda, Hebrew, which is to know. Now, to know in Hebrew concept is just not informational knowing. Yoda is also the same word is used to represent sexual intimacy between man and woman. So in Genesis, you got Adam know his wife, Eve, and come Cain, the firstborn. That word Yoda is used there, which means to know. And to know is not just Adam know Eve from names. To know for Adam, to know Eve, is he has a sexual intimacy with Eve. Adam know Eve. You are invited to know God. Not from the sexual acts, but the intimacy of the relationship with God. How do you do that? To have a relationship and to have to know God through His Word. Today, you learn two things about Jesus, the high priest, the superhero. Number one, He is able to rescue you. Number two, He is for you. He defends you. He is on your side. He is your representative. That's how relationship get built, is when you know intimately the detail of your Savior. If you want to know, somebody ask me, Pastor, how do I have a relationship with God? I cannot see Him. I cannot touch Him. Relationship is not necessarily you have to physically know and see, but you know His heart, His passion, His purpose for us, His word, His characters. That is to know. As you know from the Bible about Jesus, relationship will be built. You want to build relationship with your wife? With your husband? Your boyfriend or girlfriend? You know that person not only from the surface. You know the dream of the person, the desire, the hobby, every single detail, the habits of that person. That is how you build relationship with your husband or your wife. You know. You know. You have to know God. Read His Word. Meditate. And number two and number three, partner with Him. Partner with Him means this, simply because He wants to help you. And the Word of God says, come to Him. You are partnering with Him to come. You don't run away from Him whenever you are just do something wrong. You don't run away. You partner with Him to solve your problem together, because He gives you Holy Spirit, which is power. You go to Him when you are tired, depressed, lonely, worried, burned out. You don't stop coming to God. You go to God. Say, God, I need You, I need You, I need You, I need You. I trust You can help me. You partner with Him, walk with Him. And the last one, committing to His cause. That is part of relationship. You know what He wants on earth. You know what He is. He's dreaming. God is dreaming for this world one day will be totally reconciled, make peace with Him. A lot of people are enemies of God right now, but He wants everyone to be saved. You who are reconciled already, God wants you to commit yourself to His cause. He's talking about commitment. Now, this is the end, the last verse. You think that Jesus is the only superhero? He Himself says, no, I'm not the only superhero. John 14, verse 12 to 14, Jesus said this. And as you read this, you will understand what He thinks of you. Very truly, I tell you, Jesus said, whoever believes in Me will do the work I have been doing. Huh? Superhero. What does the whole superhero does? You will do. And not only do the same thing that Jesus is doing, He continue. And they will do even greater things than this, because I am going to the Father. You and I, yes, we have one superhero, but it does not stop with him because Jesus himself has appointed you. You are the chosen one that you will do things that is greater than what Jesus has done. Until you realize this, you will always feel like you are the victim. You have a victim mentality, not a hero mentality. But Jesus said, don't live as a with a victim mentality. Don't let just the world tell you what you are to become. But Jesus defined you. You can do things that are greater than what he has done. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. You will ask me of the salvation of your parents, of your family members, for other people that are broken heart, your friend that just lost a boyfriend or just lost a girlfriend. You pray for them, intercede for them, and you can do the work that Jesus did. I just want to stress and emphasize this. Live, cooperate with God to make you a hero of this life. Because God has appointed you, chosen you, and given you the power, the anointing, the ability. Yes, of course, for us personally, whenever we have a problem, we go to Jesus. He is able to save. But do you know that there are many people around you that do not know Jesus? And they will only know Jesus if you become a hero to them. I pray that this simple sermon, probably not so simple, but I think this should be inspiring you and bring you confidence and faith into your heart, that you will put your faith in the Word of God. I pray that you will rise up to answer the call of God to be the hero to others. Be a hero for your family. Be a hero for your friends. Jesus has given you the power to do all that. Let's all stand.